I've matched into anesthesiology, John.
What does it take to get into the residency of your dreams when it seems like all the odds are stacked against you? Welcome to the Road to Residency podcast with your host, John Arshadi. This is the show where we break down inspiring personal journeys of passionate physicians who had the courage and the commitment to take purposeful action to achieve their goals and serve their communities.
Hey, podcasters, welcome back to another episode of the Road to Residency podcast. I'm John Arshadi, and I'm here with a dear friend and former student of mine, Dr. Monica Arndt. I met Dr. Arndt at Kaplan Medical, where she was studying for Step 2. She's an IMG from Brazil. She graduated in 2010, and I'm proud to announce that she matched into the program of her choice in the specialty of her choice, and she's here to tell you the story. Monica, great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, John. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm doing great.
Good. It's a pleasure having you. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so I did all my medical schooling in Brazil. I graduated in 2010, and I had the intent of coming to the United States to do my residency here. However, at the time, I didn't have the financial means to do so. So I developed a five-year plan to work and gather the money to be able to do that. It took a little longer. It took 2 years extra. It took me 7 years. And when I finally did that, moved to Chicago to get prepared to take the steps and take the boards and apply.
And so how was that transition coming from Brazil to the USA?
Right. It actually, because I was an exchange student here when I was 16, the U.S. has been home to me for the longest time now.
Right.
But still, it was very interesting learning about the American system, the way they do things completely different from they are in Brazil. All the particular things about the American system. It was very interesting getting acquainted with it.
Sure. So when you came back and you decided that you wanted to take the USMLEs and apply, how long did that entire process take you from the time that you decided to the time you got your ECFMD certification? How did that go?
Right. It took me about a year and a half, John, to get ready for step one, take step one, step two, CK, and then step two CS. And I thought it was a good time. Not too long, not too little. I think it gave me the time to prepare fairly well.
Yeah, a year and a half is actually great for all three steps. That's pretty good. And which step did you find the most difficult?
I think in terms of difficulty, all the steps are, they have their inherent difficulties. But in terms of challenging for me, I think step one was far more challenging, mainly because I still had to learn how to get prepared for the test, how to study, how to do the questions, how to, you know, learning the way they place the words and everything. Right. So step one was definitely the one that was most challenging for me.
Yeah. And did you take them in order or did you take them out of order?
Yes, I took step one first and then step two CK and step two CS. It's funny because right after I took step one, for a time now there, I thought maybe I should have taken step two CK first because I had already been practicing and the clinical knowledge was fresh in my mind. But then afterwards, after taking step two CK, I realized it really is best to do step one and then step two CK because the foundation that you get with the knowledge that you need for step one really is preparing you for step two CK as well. So if you do well for step one, whenever step two CK comes along, time to take it, it really is just polishing here and there and seeing different perspectives on it. But then you're ready in terms of the basis that you need.
You're right. And the reason I ask that is because I have a lot of students who, you know, ask me, can I take step two CK first, or is there any particular order I need to take the exams in? And I give them the same advice. I actually, myself, I took CS first and then CK and then step one. And if, looking back, I would have preferred if I took step one before I took step two CK, because I think I would have had a deeper breadth of knowledge, and which would have helped me for CK.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So for people who are just, you know, they're just starting now, what would you advise them in terms of study tips and strategies? Is there any particular material that, that stood out to you that you found was most effective, or any particular study method?
Right. That's a great question, John. So if I, if someone came up to me and say, how'd you do it? I would tell them, number one, studying can't be passive. You can't just read it and go do the questions. You need to do it actively. You need, as you read it, ask yourself questions. Quiz yourself to see if you know it, to see if you really learned the content, what you really need to know. People always joke around in terms of where should I study? There are countless books out there to prepare you for the steps, and I think they're all great. But what you, the one that you really need to know, people joke around, is the Bible for the steps, and it really is first aid. You need to know first aid from front to back, back to front. You need to know it really well. Read it as many times as you need to really grasp the material. And as you're reading it, go doing questions every day. I particularly would advise to do at least 10,000 questions, because it may sound a lot, but that's the only way you can really see all the different ways they can ask the questions. I particularly use the three different Q banks that I really liked. One was RX, and I would advise to take them in this order: RX, and then Kaplan's, and then U World. I think U World at the end will give you the final polishing of information that you may need. And after, in specifically for your world, after you do a first time of doing all the questions, go back and do again two or three times the questions that you got wrong. I think that will give you a really good understanding and a good perception of as of where you are. And a good way to test yourself, well, am I ready? Am I not ready? Do take the NBMEs. I think they are they correlate fairly well to how you're probably going to do on the real test day.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. And I advise as well to do a minimum of about 5,000 to 7,000 questions, which equates to around 2 to 3 Q banks. So 10,000 questions is perfect, actually, in my opinion.
It was, I thought it was, it gave me a really good foundation, John. I felt like, when you think you grasped everything, they go ahead and they change the wording, and you realize there's room for improvement here or there. So
right.
I definitely would recommend doing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Good. All right. So what other obstacles or challenges came up other than the U.S. MLEs?
Well, the process is a little longer than just the steps. The other parts of actually applying, they had their difficulties itself, putting the application together, putting everything that you have accomplished in your medical career together in a way that is interesting to the programs to read, preparing myself for the interview seasons, and each individual step has its peculiarities, its difficulties. And what I would advise is, for putting your application together, for preparing for the interview seasons, seek for advice, go ask for help, have as many people look at your application, give you hints, give you perceptions, give you opinions. The same for preparing for interviews. Have somebody else interview. Get yourself acquainted with the questions that the programs might ask you. Get yourself fully ready to it, so whenever it comes to the time that you're actually there, you don't get caught up with something that you weren't prepared for.
Right. So what would you suggest for somebody who's starting the application process right now for the 2021 match? What should they start out with? What's the first thing they should do?
Right. One of the best things I think you can do when you're deciding to apply to a program is really know your programs, research them, try to get as much information as you can about a program to really make an informed decision in terms of, I want to go there. And so when you're in front of the program director and he's asking you questions, you really have sincere, honest answers to say, this is why I really want to come to your program. And then start early. Go beyond in researching your program. If you can, schedule a tour at the school you want to go to. Go introduce yourself. See if they have opportunities for you to get engaged in that program, either through research or through volunteering or through rotations that you can do there. In any way that you can get yourself introduced and known by the program. So once it comes to the point where they're interviewing you for an actual position in their residency program, they'll look at you and say, I know you. We already got to know each other. I already know a little bit of your personality. I already know a little bit of your background. You're not a stranger anymore. You're not going to raise concerns as to being someone they've never seen.
For sure. Absolutely. And I have a lot of students who, you know, they just started out and they come up to me and ask, you know, what do I want to do the networking. I want to get U.S. clinical experience or observerships, but I just don't know where to start. How do you suggest people get started in networking and conferences? Where do they even, what's the first step?
Yes, absolutely. Conferences are a great way for you to start networking. I would definitely recommend looking for the specialty that you're interested in. Seeing they usually have several conferences throughout the year. Go there, introduce yourself, take your personal card or your resume with you, hand them out. Try to talk to people a little bit because I think that really opened a lot of doors. Go knock at hospital doors. Go ask for opportunities. Start getting to know people in the field so you can ask for opportunities to get to know their service, to be part of their, to do rotations with them or to even do grand rounds with them. Just be part, just show that you're interested and put yourself out there to be known, to get to be known.
Yeah. And one of the things that I did was I actually went through and I looked for all the hospitals in my area and I called each one of them. You know, I said, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. I want to come in for an observership. And, you know, you're going to get a bunch of no's. So you have to be prepared for that. But eventually you'll get a yes. And once you get a yes, you can use that program as leverage to call up the next program and say, hey, I just got done rotating at this hospital. I would like to come meet you and your team and just go from there. So I think that's one of the best ways to get started.
Absolutely. I think, especially for IMGs, sometimes people tend to think programs are skeptical about IMGs for whatever reason. The main reason is because they don't know you. With the medical students that have been in their service, they've known those kids for the past 4 years. They know how they study. They know their personality. They know how well they get along with each other. And if you give yourself the opportunity to start getting yourself introduced in a service, that's what you're going to do. You're going to give them the opportunity to see what kind of person you are, how easy it is to work with you, how well qualified you are medically to be a good investment in the future should they decide to choose you for one of their very select positions. So really what I would advise, start networking, get yourself known from the very beginning, very early, as you're starting to prepare for step one. Start getting yourself known. Go participate in activities related to the specialty that you want. So once it comes to the point of interview season, you're not a stranger. Your name has been heard and they know you and they will be interested in get to know for a little further about you.
I agree. And speaking of what specialty you want, we didn't tell our listeners, what specialty did you match into?
Yes, I matched into anesthesiology, John. That was my specialty of choice. That's what I wanted to do.
That's excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And did you apply to any other specialties as backup?
I did not, John. And sincerely, I would not recommend people doing that. I see a lot of people do that, say, well, what I really want, let's say, is surgery, but I'm also going to do internal medicine because I want to make sure I match.
Right.
Program directors have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years. They know people that are committed with the specialty, and they'll feel that in you. So yeah. Don't go for a backup. Go for what you really want. If you really want OBGYN, you really want cardiology, you really want nephrology, really go for what you want. Go for the specialty that you really want to do. Invest all your cards. Don't sit there and apply to a million programs just to try to give yourself an advantage. Really invest yourself in that, because the programs will sense that in you. And your commitment to the specialty will show.
I totally agree with you. People ask me, should I apply to multiple specialties all the time? And I don't think you should. I think you should just apply to the specialty that you really want to go for, because it's funny how our minds work subconsciously. If I have a backup plan, if I say, okay, well, I could do this just in case, I'm telling myself internally that, you know, this might not happen for me. I'm already giving myself negative feedback. And so statistically, what they've seen is that people who have that backup plan, they reach goal A or option A a smaller percentage of the time, you know, than people who just have that one goal and that's all they're going to take.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, John. I think when you have that mindset of I need a backup, it deep inside it means you don't really believe that you can get this done, that you can actually do it, and you can. You're in the medical field. You have been prepared. You're coming here to take your steps and to apply. Believe in yourself, because you can do it. Invest yourself. Study hard. By the way, I would advise people to choose 6 days of the week and invest at least 12 hours every day to it. Study hard, sit down and study, read as much as you can, do as many questions as you can. Take that one day off where you can relax, where you can do other activities, where you can go get yourself introduced in the field, that you can do networking, or that you can just relax and take some time off. But keep your eye on the ball. Stay committed, and you can do it. Focus on the specialty that you want and go after it.
Yeah, it's important to take that day off, because if you don't, you're going to reach burnout a lot faster than if you do. So I'm glad you said that.
And it's easy to get there. Absolutely. It can get overwhelming. It really can. But if you do it calmly and you keep focused on the goal that you want to reach, I think after you're there, you won't even remember it.
Absolutely. So how did it feel when you got that email saying, congratulations, you matched? What was the emotion that was going on in your mind?
That's a great question. It was funny because the email was supposed to come in at 10 in the morning. So I'm sitting there waiting for it. And the email actually came at 9:56. So when I opened it, I wasn't really thinking that's what it would be. I thought it was just some random communication from them. And right. When I saw the words, I was just completely shocked. And I just bursted out crying. I was so happy. I was in such joy and oh my gosh, I felt incredible. Like, it was the best thing I've ever felt. It was just amazing.
I love that. And I hear that story over and over again, and I never get sick of it, you know, the feeling that people get when they see that match.
It's just so, I think it's just so great to think I put in all this effort and it paid off. I invested myself. I gave everything I had. And I got to where I wanted to be. So it's just so rewarding. You can't find the right words to define it. But it's like at that minute, you forget everything, every challenge, every hardship you went through. And then in your mind is just smiling, thinking of the career and the great challenges you have ahead.
That's excellent. How many programs did you apply to overall?
John, I applied to 100 programs. A lot of people that apply to anesthesiology choose the path of applying to transitional year, preliminary year, and applying to categorical and advanced programs. I chose to only apply to categorical programs. And it was a much smaller number than people usually apply to. I see a lot of peers applying to 400 programs. Right. I only applied to 100. But it was entirely focused exactly what I wanted to do.
Absolutely. And we said earlier that you matched into the program of your choice. What made you choose that program?
One, because of the quality of the service they have. They have a strong research background, which I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's really renowned and a very well-qualified program.
Excellent. So thinking back on everything, from the time that you graduated and you took the U.S. Sommeliers and you applied for Match interview, if you had to do it all over again, is there anything that you would do differently or anything that you would streamline? You think you could do it better the second time around?
Absolutely, John. That's a great question. If I can go back and do it all over again, what I would do different is let's say money wasn't an issue, I would have taken the steps throughout my medical schooling in Brazil, just like the kids do here. Mm-hmm. And I would have applied immediately right after I got out of medical school, because the fresh medical student is something that the programs look for, that you're really involved, that you didn't start working or that you didn't start doing other things and got lost in the track somewhere there. So I really would have applied immediately. But let's say I couldn't do it like I had to do it like I did, I would have started networking the minute I got to the States. I would have started getting myself known. I would have gone to services to start volunteering, to start getting myself known much sooner than I did. I think that would have helped me even further if I had done so.
Right. Absolutely. There's this term that's thrown around a lot, and I'm sure you've heard of it, IMG friendly. Do you think that's a real thing, or is that just a myth? And should people even be looking for IMG friendly hospitals?
Right. That's a great question. It is a real thing. It's not that the programs don't want you because you're not from here. When they see a student, an IMG student, what they're thinking is, how good the medical school that kid went through was. Is that, how good is it to work with that kid? How well prepared is he? Mm-hmm. Is this person going to be a good investment for my program? I want my program to excel and to do great and get further and further qualified. Is this person going to be a good fit? So a lot of programs are skeptical about IMGs because it's more of a liability than going for a student that they've known for the past 4 years. But what I would advise is, if you have seen a program, and even if the program doesn't say that they are IMG friendly, don't limit yourself. If that's the program that you really want, you are an IMG, and that's the program that you really want, go for it. Don't limit yourself. I didn't limit myself in the programs that I applied to in being IMG friendly. And a lot of the programs where I interviewed had no comment in terms of being IMG friendly or not. So I wouldn't limit myself to that. If that's what you really want, show the program that you're interested. Start communicating with the program as early as you can and go forward.
That's great. I totally agree with that. And so do you have any tips for students who are just starting to write their personal statements or getting LORs? how can they spruce up their personal statements and make them more professional, and as well as their LORs? What can they tell their attendings to write for them to make them stand out?
Right. Absolutely. Number one, when you're writing your personal statement, don't make that a one day kind of thing. This is something that has to be read and rewritten quite a few times. So this is going to be a process that you're going to work on for 2 to 3 months there until you get to a personal statement that is concise, that is getting your message across, and that's really showing who you are. Get as many qualified eyes to look at that letter, as many as you can. Ask for advice. See people's perception on it, especially if you could get program directors or attendings that are involved in the selection committee. Get qualified people to look at your personal statement, because this is really important. Some schools don't value as much. Some schools value it a lot. So you can't afford to have a weak document. You have to have a strong first presentation of yourself. When I was in my interviews, my personal statement was mentioned in quite a few of them. I remember you said this. I remember you said that. So that shows me that they really went through, they really read the whole thing. And in terms of letters of recommendation, really put yourself, when you're doing your rotation, when you're participating in whatever hospital activity, give 100% of yourself. Talk to your attendings. If the person, whoever you feel comfortable asking for a letter of recommendation, and weigh the facts that you think that are most important, and mention to them, is it possible to mention this? Is it possible to mention that? A lot of attendings are very open. They've been where we are, so they will receive it well, and they can help you out in great ways. A good letter of recommendation will take you far.
Yeah, and I have a lot of students who, you know, they come to me and say that I want to get this letter of recommendation from these attendings, but I don't know how to ask them. Can I ask them for a strong letter? Should I ask them at all? Do I just wait for them to give it to me? And my answer is this. I mean, these guys have been doing this for years. They expect to write a letter for you if you're doing an observership or a clerkship with them. They know the process, so they're expecting to write it anyways. So don't be afraid to ask them for it.
Absolutely. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Just go ahead and you know, even though you're feeling afraid, you're feeling, well, what if I, you know, the attending feels like it's an inconvenience or this or that. Don't worry about that. Just go ahead. And if that's what you want to do, go ahead and ask them. Be as honest as you can. Say, I need a letter of recommendation. Can you write me one? As straightforward as possible.
Good. So if there was one word of advice that you'd give to people going through the same process right now, what would it be?
Stay strong. Believe in yourself. Keep going hard. Study hard. Give 100% of yourself that you are going to make it.
Excellent. I like it. Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Monica. Is there anything else that you'd like for our listeners to know before we wrap this up?
Thank you so much for having me, John. I think what I really want IMGs to feel is that if this is your dream, you can't do it. You just have to put in the work. And after you're done, after you receive that email saying you've matched, you're not going to even remember everything that you're going through. So keep at it, work hard, and you're going to make it.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And how can people reach you if they want to get in touch with you, if they have any questions?
Yes. My email is iaszmonica@gmail.com, or they can reach out to you and we'll communicate.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Monica. It's great having you on the show. Hopefully we have you on the show again sometime soon.
Thank you so much for having me, John. It's such an honor. And I would love to be here anytime that you need me.
That'd be great. My pleasure.
If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, share it with your friends, get this message out there, because this is a time where a lot of people are skeptical and they're saying, I'm an older grad, I'm an IMG, it's getting more difficult for us, what do I do? Well, we want to show you that there is hope. Actually, right now is
the best time to match as an IMG. You know, our match rates have gone up from about 48% in 2010 when I graduated to 61% this year. And that's a significant jump. So you can do it. You will do it. Just don't give up. And I hope to see you in the next episode.